I don't know if everyone is served, but you can listen to me while the serving is completed. I'm repeating fundamental things because we have new people listening. In the New Testament, this was an event that was kept in homes. It took the Middle Ages to turn it into a competitive, high liturgical act in order to compete with the mystery religions already operating in Rome. Again, it was the mystery religions and the worship of oracles at Delphi and other places that they had to compete with in coming up with what the English word hocus pocus means. We get hocus pocus in our slang from the Latin word used by the priest, hocus corpus meus, where they said that the elements were transferred or transformed into the body and blood of Jesus. This was not, has absolutely no roots in theology or in the scriptural frame. Comes totally out of church councils and an a priori position they took to reinterpret and make mystical, clear, simple passages of scripture. The event began the night of the Passover, when Jesus was keeping the Passover. And when it says the Passover lamb was slain at evening, the literal is between the evenings, because their Passover day began at sunset the day before, by our calendar, and went through the night and the next day up until sunset that day. They would have the Passover dinner. The commemorative event that had been instituted from the days of the Exodus, and they still keep it in Jewish homes when that event is commemorated. In fact, you that know your Jewish liturgy, they still keep a place for Elijah. Unwilling to accept the fact that Jesus was the Messiah and that John the Baptist came in fulfillment of the predecessor, devout Jews still keep the Passover and serve up a place for Elijah that they expect to come and join them as a predecessor of the Messiah. This Passover event dealt with symbols. There wasn't any mystical union. The lamb, for example, that they ate for roast, they ate roasted and ate for strength the night of the Exodus or prior to it, that wasn't the blood and body of Jesus. The blood they put on the doorpost the night of the Passover in Egypt, that was not the blood and body of Jesus, yet it was efficacious. God, in whom there is no time, gave to them the rewards of what Jesus would later do at Calvary, as he now puts us back as we take these elements into the position of being recipient of what he did that night at Calvary. They were emblems. And when Jesus was keeping the Passover in the house of John Mark's mother, upper room, he was keeping the Passover and he gave it meaning. As he broke the bread, he said, "This is my body which is broken for you." He explained, as he had explained, what was going to happen. His blood was in his veins, his flesh was on his bones. There was no mystical union. He took the cup and said, "This is my blood which is shed for you." An emblem. The book of Hebrews says he sat down, having finished by himself the work of redemption. And he doesn't have to die again. Some reenactment of crucifixion by hocus pocus is not biblical doctrine. Transubstantiation, and I know this divides the church, Luther was so hung up on it, he cursed Melanchthon for not agreeing with him on the subject. But the hocus pocus of transubstantiation is an adaptation from Babylonian heathen, Egyptian, and via Pergamus, Babylonian mystery religions into Rome, where the oracle could speak and change a substance. The word cannibal, as my people who've listened to me before know, comes from two words in Old Chaldee, Kana Baal, priests of Baal. It was they who baked cakes in the form of the gods and then ate the cakes on the theory they were participating, literally eating the flesh of the gods. That heathen concept, like so many others, was grafted onto the church, and the simplicity of this act taken from them. It was taken out of homes, and the next step in the evangelical world was to introduce a tradition equally devastating, that only a select group of people who, through self-examination or some profound, recognizable spiritual experience that identifies us as a select group, can go behind that invisible wall and participate in these elements. And we hear in tone, you better examine yourself, because if you eat and drink unworthy, you eat and drink damnation. That closed communion body concept would have eliminated the ones that Jesus took communion with. He took communion with unworthy vessels, all of whom would go out and fail immediately after participating, with the possible exception of John. And he told them, anticipating their failure and beyond their failure to restoration, just keep on doing it till I come again. Paul never said a word about unworthy. He talked about unworthily, an adverb form of the word which modifies the act. He was talking about the manner of partaking. He said, examine your manner of partaking, because if you eat and drink unworthily, which is in an unworthy manner, you eat and drink damnation. Cream is the word temporary punishment. The punishment described means you don't get the benefits that come to those who partake worthily. We're made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. Nobody's worthy. You can determine whether or not you partake worthily. And you partake worthily if you eat and drink discerning the Lord's body. That's why I'm in the business of teaching on television again and again the meaning of these elements. And there are two. There's bread and there's wine, fruit of the vine. Leviticus 17:11 in the original says the life of the soul resides in the blood. Whatever that eternal side of man that God breathed into man that makes him different from any other creation, that life, the scripture says, resides in the blood. God said, for sin comes death. The only reason blood is involved, life of the soul resides in the blood, for the promise, put quotes on the word, declaration would be better, for the declaration of God to be true, that for sin comes death, blood had to be spilled, outpoured life. Value of the blood, value of the life. The New Testament asks the question that must have haunted the Old Testament participants. How can the blood of that which is worth less, a sheep or a goat, adequately pay for the sins of a man? Only that which is of equal worth can stand in. That was temporary, because in the bank of God's supply, one worth enough to God, the evaluator, to stand in for all of us, would shed his blood for our sins. And we're made worthy by recognizing he died for me and you, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now in Isaiah 53, the atonement passage describes what happened. The Lord laid on him the iniquities of us all. Same passage says, he bore our sicknesses and infirmities. That's why there's two elements at the table. If sin's the only issue, all you need is the cup, the type of the blood. The bread is there because God had something else in view in the atoning work, that which caused Jesus to lift off of us something that God in his grace would deliver us from. Sin and its consequences, the Lord laid our sins on Him. He took the consequences. He died. That's why the cup. Also, I repeat, it says, He bore our sicknesses and infirmities. Now, I know the word is not sickness in the King James. The original Hebrew words allow several meanings, which is why those who don't believe in healing spiritualize them and talk about troubles and travails as infirmities and afflictions. Everybody agrees that the verbs say in Isaiah 53 that the atoning one bore the full weight of those infirmities and carried them away from us, just like He did the sins. God in His kindness takes the ambiguity out of the Hebrew. You take a Revised Standard Version or those that decide to independently translate Isaiah 53, it may not mean sickness. But God inspired Matthew in the 8th chapter of the New Testament to give the proper meaning of Isaiah 53. He watches Jesus go about healing a leper, healing those sick of fever, healing all manner of physical sicknesses, that it might be fulfilled, he says, what Isaiah said, Himself took our sicknesses and infirmities. The New Testament, Matthew 8:17, locks you in. Isaiah 53 includes physical sickness and infirmity. And it says, He bore the full weight of those and carried them away. Now, I said earlier in this festival, I can't explain the Trinity in logical terms, because the Trinity has three different ones in some mystery over there being one. And we live in a language frame where Aristotle's logic says you can't have A and not A at the same time. Yet the Incarnation defies that, because it says in the Incarnation Jesus was God and man at the same time. I don't understand this one either. Aristotle's logic does not allow this. A double happening of the same event. But the concept of the mediator, the whole concept of the kopareth, which is the atonement, there are people that play with the English word atonement and say it means at-one-ment. Well, the original word meant covering. It was used specifically of the mercy seat that covered the Ark of the Covenant. And that covering was between us and whatever He was bearing. And Isaiah 53 says He bore the full weight and carried it away. What the mediator teaches is that Christ didn't just die for sinners. He had laid on Him every sin. Every sin ever committed, every sin being committed, every sin yet to be committed, double happening. If I tomorrow fall short in some deed, I don't have to wonder if God must figure out a new way to pay for that. That's already covered. Every sin, whatever, laid on Him, double happening. I don't understand it. It's a declaration of faith. Same passage says every sickness, double happening, laid on Him. Now, the fact that every sin was laid on Jesus thus far has not prevented me from committing them. I think up new ways to fall short. I don't go out and try to sin, but at the end of every day, I haven't lived one yet that I can't look back and say there was something else I could have done. Or I missed the cue here from my Lord. And I know tomorrow will be the same way, because, you see, I believe the Scripture when it says the God of peace will sanctify you, that separates you from sin, sanctify you wholly over there. In between, it's a progressive, cooperative work between God and me and the Holy Spirit doing a job of developing me, and yet I'm covered wholly by the grace of Christ. So, I am not yet exempt from sinning, but I am secure in the knowledge that the consequence of that sin is already covered, because tomorrow's sin was laid on Him. Likewise, everybody isn't being healed, but I'm telling you, it's covered. Your sickness he has already suffered it. That's why Peter could look back and say, with his stripes ye were healed. That's why people had sickness and weakness and died of it for taking of these elements and not discerning the Lord's body. Teaching opens the eye until the momentum of faith can say, you know, he bore my sickness. You say, well, what if I reach a point of insight and believe that? And I take the bread and I'm in my wheelchair and I sort of push up and I'm still in it. Hey, it isn't me. It's some of those other preachers that say that if you don't get out of your wheelchair, you don't have faith. I believe that there are people that have as much faith as the preachers that condemn them, and they're still in their wheelchair. Well, hoop-de-doo. The Hebrews letter talks of heroes that the world is not worthy of, that died not having obtained the promise. God said it, that settles it. Push up in the chair. If you can't walk, you're still not walking. I tell my people, if you're sick and can't stand up, sit up. If you can't sit up, nod your head. If you can't nod your head, blink your eyes. If you can't blink your eyes, roll your eyeballs. If you can't do anything else, think faith. Do something that says, I'm going to act like God's word is true. If I don't see immediate results, I got the eternal results. If I die of this sickness, having just taken communion, I ain't going to argue with the Lord, because Absalom the body is present with him. I'm not going to stand up there and say, hey, I'm here, Lord, but I want to go back, because unless you heal me, before I come home, I won't go home. No. Faith benefits seal you into the promises of eternal inheritance. But I'm still teaching every time we go to this table, the only way you're going to get it is faith that discerns that as every sin was lifted, so are the sicknesses. It's like having plug-ins all around the building. The current's never going to flow if you don't plug in. Some of the plugs, you may plug it in, and the light doesn't go on. Quit looking for the light. Just keep plugging it in. God's Word says it. With His stripes you were healed. Today may be your moment. There are people like that fellow by the pool in Bethesda. He had been there so long and not gotten the healing. When Jesus was there ready to heal him, he didn't believe it was going to happen. You create the expectancy. God said it. That's enough. If I have to take this every day in private devotion, I'm going to take the bread. I'm going to lift my voice. With the heart, I'm going to believe. With the mouth, I'm going to declare it. With His stripes, I was healed. If you expect it, when it happens, you won't be surprised. When it doesn't happen, you'll keep right on faithing. Clear enough? I believe one of these days, all across the television network, the miracles that God promised me are going to happen. Because people discern and reach up and grab hold. I preached a couple of Sundays ago, it's like plugging in. You quit looking for the light, you just keep plugging in. One of these days, to your surprise, you're going to do it again, and do it again, and do it again. Then one of these days, you're not going to be surprised, because you're not going to need to do it again. You've been healed. Take the bread and lift it with me. And say it as we've said it here on the Home Network 1,000 times or more. Some of you with the sickness. I'm a pastor. I know the realities of people that believe and it still doesn't happen. Well, when it happens, it'll be when you're believing. Grab hold of the bread and say it with me. With His stripes I was healed. As we take it in Jesus' name. All you got to do to be worthy is say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Then, like the rest of us, you can say, and say it with me, folks, isn't it nice to know all our inadequacies are covered? Thank you, Lord, for His grace as we take it together in Jesus' name.